Isaiah 55 on page 1150. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread? And your labor on what does not satisfy. Listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me, listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. My faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are my ways your ways, or your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper, and instead of briars the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever.
Thanks, Ruby, Adrian for reading, thanks, Jason for sharing. That's great. My name's Ben. If I haven't met you, I'm the pastor here at Barney's and going to be opening God's Word with you this morning. We're going to be looking at Psalm 27 under the theme of seeking the Lord. We've kind of made two weeks in the middle of the year for hopefully some refreshment, spiritual refreshment. And so last week, I was away, but you were thinking about enjoying God, particularly as Father. And today we're thinking about seeking the Lord. We're going to be looking at Psalm 27. Father, thank you so much that we can gather together as your people this morning. Thank you for the reminder through Jason that we don't need all the trappings of church and religion, that we can just come to you. We can know you because you're a God who is present with us by your Spirit. Thank you that you have given us the great gift of your word, and we pray as we look at Psalm 27, you'd give each of us attentive hearts, help us to listen to what you're saying, and give us responsive hearts that we would put into practice what we hear. Please, Father, please, would we not be those who just hear your word and remain unchanged? Please do your good work in us. As Isaiah 55 said, you accomplish your purpose through your word. Please would that be true of us this morning. Amen. I shared some weeks ago that I was feeling weary spiritually, dry and weary. I felt maybe as a church community we were collectively spiritually weary. I was looking forward to going with Jason to Cambodia. I was really kind of looking forward to that time as a time to be refreshed spiritually, to be inspired and reinvigorated, and it was a great disappointment to me that I wasn't able to go. I felt God saying to me in that disappointment, you don't need to go to Cambodia to be refreshed. Come to me. Refreshment is found in me. Jesus said, of course, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so I felt God saying to me, come to me, and you can do that anywhere, and you can do it today. Someone said to me when I was at university, words that have stuck with me, when you're weary, go to God. When you're tired, go to bed. Physical tiredness and spiritual weariness often do go together. They're not necessarily connected, but they can be. If you're physically tired, you need to go to bed, and that's something I need to hear. When I'm tired, often I make stupid decisions and I just stay tired. I need to go to bed. But if you're spiritually weary as well, then you need to go to God. And you can do that even when you're physically tired. Over the last few weeks, I've needed to repent. I've needed to renew a pursuit of God in my life. There are reasons why it's been hard for me, and there are reasons why it's hard for any of us to make time for God. Long-term interrupted sleep, sickness, whether it's your own or family members, work pressures, all those things make it hard. But at the end of the day, I know for myself, I've allowed those things to become excuses. Excuses. And the final reason for my not coming to God is really not my external circumstances, but my heart. So please pray for me that my repentance would be deep and genuine, that I would be a pastor with a heart like David's in this psalm. A pastor who single-mindedly pursues the Lord. That is what this psalm, I think, is all about, a single-minded pursuit of God. Let me ask you, if God said to you this morning that you could have anything, you could ask for any one thing in your current circumstance, what would it be? What would your one thing be? Verse 4 is, I think, the heart of this psalm, and David tells us what his one thing is. Verse 4, one thing I ask from the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. David is saying, Lord, this is what I want. I want to be close to you. I want to know you. Intimately, personally. I want to experience you. I want to enjoy you. This psalm, as I said, is a call to seek the Lord, to gaze on his beauty, to make God the one thing you desire, to press on, to know him better, and to do so with perseverance, persisting in seeking the Lord, even when you feel dry, waiting for the Lord, even when you can't see his goodness. Trusting that one day you will. Wang Ming Dao was a famous house church pastor and evangelist in China. He was imprisoned for 23 years and released in 1980. An American pastor who met Wang talks about a conversation that they had. The American pastor asked him, I'll never probably be put in jail like you were. What can I learn from you? Wang replied by asking a series of questions. When you go back home to America, how many books do you have to read this coming month? How many letters to write? How many people to see? How many sermons to preach? Then he stopped and said, you need to build yourself a cell. When I was put in jail, I was devastated. I was an evangelist. I wanted to hold crusades all over China. I was an author. I wanted to write books. I was a preacher. I wanted to study my Bible and write sermons. But I had no Bible, no pulpit, no audience, no pen, no paper. I could do nothing, nothing except get to know God. And for 23 years, that was the greatest relationship I've ever known. His parting advice was, I was forced into a cell. You will have to push yourself into one. Simplify your life so you have time to know God. What a challenge, for me at least, because I like my life being busy. I like feeling that I'm accomplishing things. A good day for me is a productive day, where people are seen and tasks are ticked off my to-do list and ministry is performed. I know that I need to simplify my life and reorder my priorities so that I make space for the one thing that really matters, to know my God. Maybe you do too. But let's dig into the psalm a little bit more. What is involved in seeking the Lord? What motivation is there to do it? I'm going to mention five things. We'll work our way through. Firstly, seeking God means knowing His security. Knowing His security. On your sheets. Verses 1 to 3. David says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident." Maybe you've heard what I've said so far and you're thinking, "Ben, you don't know my life. You don't know how hard it is at the moment. If you did, you wouldn't tell me that my priority should be seeking God." All I can say is, think about the person who wrote this psalm, David. Think about what he reveals in this psalm and what we know from the rest of the Bible. He did not have an easy life. For many years, he was being pursued. His life was under threat. He was being chased by his own son at one point. He says here, false witnesses are making accusations against him. An army is besieging him. And yet his one request is not relief from all that stuff. His one request is to dwell in God's house, to know His presence. See, David knows that the Lord is the one who keeps him safe. The Lord is his light and his salvation, his stronghold, his shelter. It doesn't mean that he won't be attacked, but it does mean that he doesn't need to fear. There will still be days of trouble. David knows that. But verse 5, he says, "In the day of trouble, the Lord will keep me safe in his dwelling. He'll hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock." Paul Tripp has written a great poem called Safe. Let me read it to you. "I am safe, not because I have no trouble or because I never experience danger. I'm safe not because people affirm me or my plans always work out. I'm safe not because I am immune from disease or free from the potential of poverty. I'm safe not because I'm protected from disappointment or separated from this fallen world. I'm separated not because I'm wise or strong. I'm safe not because I deserve comfort or have earned my ease. I'm safe not because of money or power or position or intellect or who I know or where I live. I'm safe because of the glorious mystery of grace. I'm safe because of the presence of boundless love. I'm safe because of divine mercy, divine wisdom, divine power, divine grace. I'm safe not because I never face danger, but because you're with me in it. You've not given me a ticket out of danger. You've not promised me a life of ease. You've chosen to place me in a fallen world. But I'm safe because you've given me the one thing that is the only thing that will ever keep me safe. You've given me you. I'm safe from my evil heart and this shattered world, not because I can escape them both, but because in the middle of temptation and trial, danger and disappointment, sickness and want, you give me everything I need to fight temptation and avoid defeat and to point others to the safety that can only be found in you. So I'll wake up tomorrow and face the anxiety of not knowing, the fear of my own weakness and the reality of the fall. I'll live with faith, courage, perseverance, and hope. And when danger comes, and it will, I will whisper to my weakening heart, Emmanuel is your shelter. You are safe." Seeking the Lord means knowing His security, knowing the safety that's found only in Him. Secondly, it means savoring His beauty. Verse 4, again, "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple." David says, verse 1, that the Lord is my salvation. And I think what he means there is that the Lord is not only my Savior, the one who saves me, but that the Lord is my salvation. God hasn't just saved us from sin and death. The Lord has saved us for Himself. The greatest gift of salvation is not forgiveness of sin or everlasting life. The greatest gift of salvation is God Himself. It's a striking phrase, isn't it? David wants to gaze on the beauty of the Lord, like you might gaze on a beautiful sunset or scenery, like you might gaze on a beautiful piece of artwork. He wants to gaze on the beauty of the Lord. See, God isn't just the one who keeps David safe. He's the one who gives David satisfaction. David wants to come to God not just to get stuff from him, but to spend time with him, just enjoying God, sitting in his presence, pondering and appreciating his beautiful character. For David, I take it prayer wasn't just about asking for needs. Prayer for David would have been praise, adoration, just delighting himself in the Lord. He says, verse 6, second half, at his sacred tent I'll sacrifice with shouts of joy. I'll sing and make music to the Lord. Listen to David again in Psalm 63. He says, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you. David is obsessed with God, isn't it? We don't often talk in that kind of language, do you? Do we? You know, my soul thirsts for God. My body longs for him. Sounds a bit extreme. But it's been my prayer the last few weeks that I would be a man like David who is obsessed with the Lord. Thirdly, seeking the Lord will mean resting in his acceptance. Let's read from verse 7 again. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You've been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. David's seeking God's face. He wants to know him. He wants to see him. And it seems from these verses that he wasn't currently experiencing that. He wasn't currently experiencing God's presence. Certainly he knew times when God seemed to be absent. And he's pleading with God. Verse 9, do not hide your face from me. Don't turn your servant away. Don't reject me or forsake me. He's pleading. And yet he's still confident. Verse 10, he knows even though his father and mother might forsake him, the Lord will receive him. That's great assurance for us, isn't it? Even if those closest to us let us down, cast us out, God remains utterly faithful and reliable. Maybe you're currently in that place where God feels distant. You feel like he's hidden his face from you. Let me say that's not unusual. The Psalms are full of people going through that kind of experience. All I can do is encourage you to do what David did, to keep calling out to God. Lord, be merciful to me. Hear my voice. Do not hide your face from me. Don't reject me. To plead with God, to make himself known to you, to give you that sense of his presence again. And as you pray those things, to remember and be encouraged that he cannot reject you. He will not reject you. Despite your feelings, to keep hold of the unshakable promise of the gospel, that because of Jesus, you are accepted. You are loved. You are in the Father's embrace. You may not be able to feel it, but it's true. God has promised, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And so though the sense of his presence may fade, he will never actually leave you. He is with you. There's a hymn, How Firm a Foundation. And the final verse says this, the soul that on Jesus has come to rely, their cry out for mercy he will not deny. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, he'll never, no never, no never forsake. Friends, believe it. Believe it. Even though you may not feel it, believe it and keep seeking the Lord. Fourthly, seeking the Lord will mean pursuing his guidance. Verse 11, Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. See, seeking the Lord isn't just about personal relationship with God. It's also about a commitment to walking in the way of God. It's saying, Lord, I want your will for my life. It's a challenging prayer, actually, isn't it? Verse 11. You know, for myself, at least, I know so often my prayers are along the lines of, God, help me with my plans. Be with me in my ways. But David prays, teach me your way, Lord. Show me the way you want me to go, and then lead me in it. Finally, seeking the Lord will mean waiting for his goodness. Verse 13 and 14, precious verses. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. David's current experience may have been that God felt distant, yet he remains confident. He will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And he calls on himself and whoever else is listening to wait, to keep seeking after God, not to give up. Maybe you're thinking, Ben, you don't know how long I've been waiting. And maybe if you're honest, you feel like God has let you down and you've kind of given up on him. I don't know how long you've been waiting, but I do know the Bible is full of characters who are called to wait. It seems as you read the story of the Bible, God doesn't often work to our timetable. And maybe our issue is one of expectation management. We're expecting God to do something he hasn't actually promised to do, or to do it in a timescale he hasn't committed to. Think of Abraham, given the promise that he's going to have a son, and then he has to wait 25 years for that promise to be fulfilled. And at points he's in desperation, isn't he? But God is faithful. Think of Wang Mingdao, put in prison for 23 years, but he waited on the Lord. And so all I can say is, don't despise the waiting. Don't despise the time of waiting. You know, waiting is kind of the basic Christian posture. We're all called to wait on the Lord, to kind of be in that place of depending on him, waiting on him to answer our prayers, to fulfill his promises, to come again. And often, while we wait, God is working to refine us, to purify us, to remove the ugliness from our lives. So keep waiting. Keep seeking the Lord. Andrew Murray has written a collection of 31 meditations on this theme, waiting on God. He says about this verse that we've become accustomed to kind of assessing God's work in us by how we feel. And so we often become discouraged because we don't feel God working in us. We don't feel him with us. And Andrew Murray says we need to make sure that we don't end up actually waiting on ourselves, waiting for our feelings to change, but that we're truly waiting on God and waiting with confidence. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I may not see it now, but I know I will. Confidence that though our feelings may not change immediately, God is faithful. And as we wait on him, he is imparting to us his grace and his blessing. From my limited experience of the Christian life, I know that when I'm in that hard place and I'm tempted to doubt God's goodness and to feel like he's let me down, I've been through those hard times enough times and been able to look back and see God's faithfulness that I'm learning to catch myself. I don't do it perfectly, but I'm learning to catch myself and tell myself, look, he's been faithful to you. He's never let you down. Keep waiting. Keep trusting. And ultimately, we don't just look back to our experience of God's faithfulness in our own lives, do we? We look back to the cross. A friend of mine from the UK, a guy called Matt, my age, a guy very talented, very active, 5 years ago or so, contracted some weird disease and is now seriously and permanently disabled, has to get around in a wheelchair. He sent some beautiful letters out in the first couple of years as he came to terms with that diagnosis. In one of them, he said this, "Sometimes I cry out and wonder why this has all happened. I don't know. And so the fight for me is to throw myself at the cross of Christ, where God used the ultimate bad for the ultimate good. He's proven himself capable in that, and so I look to him in this. And that's usually enough for the day at hand." For Matt, it was, and I think still is, a case of daily waiting on the Lord. And that's been such an encouragement to me. God was faithful in that. I can trust him in this, whatever I'm facing. Waiting's hard. I don't know about you, I'm rubbish at waiting. You know, when I go to the doctor and they keep me waiting 10 minutes for the appointment, I get so frustrated. Waiting's hard. David says, be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Be strong, be courageous. We need strength and courage to wait. And maybe you feel like, I'm not strong, I don't have any strength. Well, ask God to give you the strength and courage you need so that you can wait on him. So that's what it will look like to wait on the Lord, knowing his security, savoring his beauty, resting in his acceptance, pursuing his guidance, waiting for his goodness. Let me ask us, why don't we do that? I take it we don't do that perfectly. We're all on the spectrum of kind of single-minded pursuit of God to I've given up completely. But we don't do it perfectly, do we? Why not? What is it that keeps us from seeking the Lord? Let me suggest two things. There are probably more, but let's think about these two. Firstly, distraction. We're so busy seeking other things. Our one thing is not the Lord. We're believing the lie that other things can give us the security and satisfaction and significance that we crave, whether it's money or sex or success. And we need to repent, don't we? We need to recognize that those things, though many of them are good, they're not God, and they will fail us. Like Isaiah 55 says, I love it. God asks the question, verse 2, why spend your money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good and you'll delight in the richest of fare. It's a good question, isn't it? Why would you spend yourself on something that isn't actually going to nourish and refresh and satisfy you? Why do it? It's kind of stupid. But God says, come to me. And I'll give you rest. And it's free. If you run to people, ultimately they'll let you down. If you run to food, it'll make you fat. If you run to technology, you'll end up distracted and bored. If you run to God, you'll find rest and comfort for your souls. So the application of this psalm may not be just seek God, but stop seeking all those other things that are distracting you. Corinne's been reading a book recently. I haven't read it, but it sounds great. It's called Love, Skip, Jump, written by an American woman. She tells a story in one of the chapters about a trip to Peru, and she's taken to visit a woman who's living in desperate poverty. She's in this kind of ramshackle house, tiny. There's her aging aging mother, her daughter, and her daughter's newborn baby, and Shalene, the American who wrote the book, says, my heart just went out to this woman, and I said to her, can I pray for you? And the Peruvian woman said, no, let me pray for you. For me, I said, bewildered. I was thinking, why would she want to pray for me? And before I could catch myself, I said, why? She smiled, not at all offended by my question, and said, because you have way more things to distract you from our God than I do. I hit the floor on my knees as if God himself had pushed me to the ground. Please, please pray for me. The woman laid her hands on my shoulders and begged God to not allow me to get distracted by the things of this world. It truly is one of the best prayers anyone has ever spoken over me. There is only one thing we all need to get right, and that is to know and follow hard after Christ. So maybe it's the case that you haven't got time to seek God because you're spending so much of your time seeking other things. Now, don't hear me wrongly. As I said at the start, I know there are seasons in life when it's just crazy. Family pressures, work pressures, other commitments that mean we're stretched and it's tough to find time for God. But I know for myself, as I said at the start, too often I allow those things to become excuses. If there's something I really want to do, I make time for it. So what is it you're seeking that's preventing you from seeking the Lord? The other thing that might keep us from seeking the Lord is shame. Shame and guilt. Maybe we're not sure that God will receive us. We don't feel worthy or acceptable. We maybe perceive God as a fault-finding judge who looks on us with disapproval, and so we stay away. Now, when we think like that, when we think, I don't deserve to be accepted by God, in one sense, we're right, aren't we? We don't. A few psalms earlier, in a kind of collection of psalms, Psalm 24 says, who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who can stand in his holy place? And the answer comes, the one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who doesn't trust in an idol or swear by a false god. Pure heart. Which of us can say we've got a pure heart? None of us in ourselves are fit to ascend the hill of the Lord and stand in his holy place. Only one. Only Jesus fits that description, a man with a pure heart. And yet the gospel tells me that on the cross, Jesus, the one person deserving of acceptance, was rejected by the Father so that I could be accepted. Jesus was forsaken by the Father. Remember those words he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And in a sense, the answer is so that me and you could be accepted. Jesus carried my sin and guilt and shame. He suffered the rejection I deserve so that I could receive the welcome he deserves. The Father turned his face away from his Son. Imagine that. They'd lived in eternal unity and love and joy. Yet on the cross, the Father turns his face away from his Son so that I and you could know he'll never turn his face away from us. So friends, don't let guilt or shame keep you from seeking the Lord. It's as if the Father says this morning, I gave my Son to deal with your guilt and shame so that that would no longer be a barrier. Come. Come to me. Yes, come in repentance, but come. Isaiah 55, again, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. So seek the Lord. Know his security, savor his beauty, rest in his acceptance, pursue his guidance, wait for his goodness. How can we do that? What's it actually going to look like for us to seek him? Briefly, it's not rocket science, is it? We've got the Word of God. We've got the word of the Lord. If we're going to be serious about seeking the Lord, we're going to have to spend time in his word. We'll have to spend time in prayer, in conversation and communion with God. Bible, prayer. But not just Bible and prayer as dry duties, but Bible and prayer as means to knowing God. And so coming to our times of devotion, our quiet times, praying, Lord, I seek you in your word. I want to know you. I want to love you. I want to treasure you. I want my heart to desire you more than anything else. I want to have a heart that praises you, that worships you. Help me find my security in you. Open my eyes to see your beauty. Reassure me of your acceptance. Teach me your ways. Give me the strength I need to wait for your goodness. It'll mean that we don't just kind of read through the words of the Bible, but we take time to ponder them, to chew over them, to meditate on them. And then to pray in response. And not just praying through our list of needs, but adoration and praise. Spending time with our God. Just sitting in his presence, gazing on his beauty, enjoying him. Psalm 27 is a call to single-minded devotion to the Lord, a passionate pursuit of God. It's a reminder that there's nothing more precious in all the world than to know our God. Not just to know about him, but to know him personally and intimately. So let's make that the one thing that we seek. And let's keep seeking him until that glorious day when the Lord Jesus returns and we see him face to face. We're going to listen to a song which kind of picks up some of the themes of Psalm 27. It's an opportunity just to kind of ponder, reflect, maybe make the words of the song your prayer, maybe make Psalm 27 your prayer. Just come before God in your own hearts. We'll listen to the song, and then there's a prayer on the sheets. We'll pray together, and then I'm going to give you some time to think, what's it going to look like for me to do Psalm 27, to seek the Lord?
On Monday night this week, about midnight, I wrote a letter to the Lord. I didn't know where to mail it, so I put it in my Bible. And I asked him, Lord, you got to do something about my heart. You know, a lot of time's gone by since I met you. And it's starting to harden up. You know, it's just kind of natural. I want to have baby skin, Lord. I want to have skin like a baby on my heart. It's starting to get old and wrinkled and calloused. It's not because anything I'm doing. Because of a lot of things I'm not doing. And I stayed up till about 2 in the morning writing this song.
For thee, I wanna take.
shine it all around. But first, help me just to live it, Lord. And if I'm doing well, help me to never make a sound except to give all the glory to you. Faith is small, and I need a touch from you. Your book of books lies undisturbed, and the prayers from me too few. Oh Lord, please light the fire that once burned bright and clear. Replace the lamp of my first love that's fueled with holy fear. I wanna take your word and shine it all around. But first, help me just live it, Lord. And if I'm doing good, please help me to never make a sound except to give all the glory to you. Oh Lord, you're beautiful. Your face is all I see. For when your eyes are on this child, your faith abounds to me, to me.
Shall we just pray this little prayer that I've written in response to Psalm 27, and then we'll have a couple of minutes to just reflect in quiet on our own about an action step that we might take in response. Why don't we pray together? Lord, I want to have a single-minded devotion to you. I want you to be the one thing that I seek above all else. Show me the things I need to stop pursuing in order to pursue you. Thank you that Jesus has dealt with all my guilt and shame so that I have nothing to fear in approaching you. Show me what I need to do in order to seek you, and give me the resolve I need in order to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't you take a couple of minutes to think and just ask God to lead you, what it means for you to respond to this call. Cool.